There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Yeah, and with that, we get it kicked off here, Midday Mobile, on this Monday. Glad to have you along and easy to get in touch with the show. 251. Remember, my New Year's resolution to use the area code. We got another area code coming at some point, maybe this year for Alabama. But yeah, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through on the phone line and the text line, so use those. And in addition, and I want to point this out too, in addition, the talkback feature with the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you'll see the microphone icon on the front page, you press that, you record a message, emails to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. I do that. Some of the other shows do, but I see some coming out on the weekends. Not all the weekend hosts are apt to use that audio. So we'll work on that. But during the weekday, you can send those talkback messages. We get them in our email. We can play them back here on the air. So send those in using the app. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. It's also MLK Day. We'll talk about that in the show going forward. Also, the snow, fun snow that fell here. I didn't see it. I didn't get up in time in the middle of the night to see it, and it didn't stick where I am. But it's a fun snow. You get snow, but there's not what we had last year with the ice and all that kind of stuff. I know there's pictures been coming in on the text line. You can be like, oh, look, there's a flake. That's a fun snow, right? Speaking of snow, we'll check in with what's going on with the United States and Greenland in just a little bit. And right now, we'll check in with our friend Todd Stacey from Capital Journal, which is session times, means it's on all the time. And Alabama Daily News, the hardest working man in Alabama media, joins us now. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, how's it going? I thought you were about to say, speaking of snow, we're going to turn to Todd. Like, what is... No. We're the one place in Alabama... There's like this little stretch throughout the central part of the state that we didn't get snow last year, and we didn't get snow so far this year. So
yeah, that's the thing people forget last year, that snow thing was really more down here in our neck of the woods than it was like up in Montgomery. You know,
exactly.
I mean, we definitely got the, you know, as much as 9 inches of snow in some areas here. Just I think we'll come up on the anniversary in a couple days here. We got fun snow over the weekend. It was Saturday night into Sunday, and now it's the middle of the night, but it was flurries and people got to see snow, but there was no icing. There were no, you know.
Right. Kind of,
is it fun snow? You know what I'm talking about. It's like, hey, look at the snow.
Absolutely, yeah, fun snow. Yeah. I totally get it. But much different than the not-so-fun snow I would experience in D.C. on occasion.
That's right. That's not fun.
I don't want to go back to those days.
No, that's bad snow. You got fun snow, and then you got, like, not-fun snow in the mix. This is obviously y'all breaking the story over the weekend at Alabama Daily News. And this one, I don't know, this is going to be a fun side discussion. So President Trump has endorsed Barry Moore for Senate.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. I mean, in this race, it was hard to tell whether or not this was ever going to happen for anybody, right? And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one is, first of all, you can't ever predict President Trump, right? The minute you think you've got him figured out, he will surprise you. But also, this race, I mean, by every polling I've seen, Barry Moore is not doing all that well, right? I mean, Steve Marshall has been leading really ever since day one. The latest poll had him right around 30% in that primary. And so knowing President Trump's history, he's got a mixed bag in terms of his history of endorsing in the state. Maybe he'd hold off, or at least until later in the race. But he hasn't. I mean, it's relatively early in this, you know, 4 month race. And he has gotten behind Barry Moore. Now, look, if you just look at the history and how much Barry Moore has been, you know, there for Trump since the very beginning, then maybe it does make sense. I mean, there was nobody out there as early and as loudly as Barry Moore. He wasn't even, you know, I guess maybe he was still in the state house.
Yeah, he was a state rep, right?
Yeah. And so before he started running for Congress and everything, out there beating the drum for Donald Trump. And so that, I think part of this is that loyalty has been rewarded. It's a big, big deal. Certainly the biggest development of the Senate race so far.
Okay, well, a couple of things. So you talk about about Trump's endorsements here, and I don't have it in front of me, but didn't he say something like, hey, don't mess up my good run here, you know, for people I endorse? I'm like, well, you may have forgotten that you didn't knock it out of the park every time with your endorsements here.
Well, yeah, really, the only truly successful one you can talk about is Tuberville.
Yep.
So go back to 2017 with that special election, because Jeff Sessions gets appointed attorney general, that seat opens up. And so that race takes place over the year of 2017. Trump endorses Luther Strange, who got appointed to that spot by Robert Bentley. So he's the sitting, you know, U.S. senator, and Luther Strange gets that Trump endorsement. Well, and it was awkward the whole time, because there was some event up in Huntsville where he just kind of didn't seem all that into it. But yeah, I'm endorsed him. it was so painfully awkward. Well, obviously Luther Strange doesn't win that race, even with Trump's endorsement. Roy Moore wins that primary, and rest is history. Roy Moore goes on to lose to Doug Jones. Well, okay, 2020. This is when he gets it right. This is, you know, Tuberville's running against Jeff Sessions, who's giving it another shot. Bradley Byrne from down there on the coast. Very good race, you know, really close race. But Trump's endorsement in May of that year, mid-May, so it was right near the election, really puts Tuberville over the top. Because those three were running pretty close, so that's the one time that he really made a difference, and his pick really did something. So fast forward again to 2022, the next Senate race. We're having a lot of competitive Senate races here lately.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? He endorses Mo Brooks way earlier than in this case. He endorses Mo Brooks to the point where everything Mo Brooks says is Trump endorsed Mo Brooks. I mean, he really tried to make it a thing. Well, that fizzled because Mo Brooks fizzled in the election. And so eventually Mo Brooks went down so far on the polls that Trump rescinded his endorsement.
Yeah, then put it to like, the whole time I knew Katie Britt was the
Well, and by the time it was evident that Katie Britt was going to win that race, then he throws his support behind Katie. So I'm sure if they're keeping score in the White House, it's like, oh, yeah, we're 3-for-3. Not really. Yeah. So I guess the point is, it's not a sure thing, and a lot of what matters is how you use it. Mo Brooks never had the money, never had the support, and probably the plan in place to really use that endorsement.
No, he
didn't.
Same
thing for Luther Strange.
Yeah, I agree. So let's look at what's going on now with the endorsement of Barry Moore, who is, like you said, not leading. Marshall has been leading. I do think in this race it's big, but you and I batted this ball around before, and here we go. It has happened. So the Trump endorsement comes in. It comes in for Moore, and, you know, within seconds afterwards, Club for Growth, who plays ball in our elections down here for sure, has now said, they're endorsing Moore. Okay, I'm waiting for y'all can vote for who you want, Republicans out there, but are you waiting for the ad that says Steve Marshall, who fought Trump and everything? What? Steve Marshall, like, Trump's boots stayed shine because of Steve Marshall. Come on. And I know we're going to have an ad running on the station and be like, Steve Marshall, secret liberal working against Trump. Shut up.
I mean, you can, we might as well put a bingo card out there. What do you call it? An office pool?
Yes. Let's do it.
Choose a date. You might as well put a pool out there what day it's going to start. Because, yes, part of this Trump endorsement, it's interesting that it came out on the same day because if I would have rather it, maybe, I don't know, it came out the same day. So Club for Growth also endorses Barry Moore.
Todd, what you're saying for people, I mean, politically, Todd's spot on. I would have, if I still don't like Club for Growth, but if I would have held back and let us have another news bump 2 weeks later, I'd let the Trump thing ride and then save this one.
Yeah, and maybe for Barry Moore it makes more sense because he doesn't have to deal with that, you know, potential backlash. But, yeah, it's not. So Club for Growth, you know, endorsing Barry Moore means very little for Barry Moore aside from the fact that Club for Growth is now going to go after his opponents, namely Steve Marshall, because Steve Marshall is leading this race. And again, it's not a sure thing. Club for Growth spent somewhere about $12 million attacking Katie Britt. Britt still won. But nobody likes to be attacked. It's not fun. It hurts you. And we've talked about this also before. And in Barry Moore's case, he's been the benefactor twice before of Club for Growth attacking his opponents. One was pretty recent with Jerry Carl.
Yep, Jerry Carl.
Club for Growth was ruthless. I mean, just attack Jerry Carl. I mean, with stuff you can't really come back from, right? You can say they're lying, but I mean, when you spend that many millions of dollars. And the other one was Jeff Coleman back in the second congressional district. Again, Barry running from behind, Club for Growth comes in, kind of does the dirty work, and to where, you know, if you get a group out there that's going to spend $5+ million attacking your opponent, it means you don't have to spend money attacking your opponent.
And so you can play the old, well, I'm not saying it.
Exactly.
I'm not doing that thing. It's not me. It's not for my campaign.
So you can expect that. And Sean, obviously you're astute and your listeners are astute to understand the reality there. But a lot of people aren't. A lot of people are going to see and hear and get in the mail whatever. I mean, every candidate, you know, that's running for Senate right now is a very conservative, Trump-loving candidate. But yeah, you're going to see something about, you know, how some of them, namely the front runner, is some kind of heretic, you know, secret Kamala.
We got to wait for how bad it gets. Because, I mean, if they would say something like, you should vote for so-and-so because while both conservatives, this person has a better connection or has a better plan or something like that, you're like, okay. You can, as a conservative, say, these are all conservatives. This one might be the better horse in this race. Mm-hmm. But you know they won't be able to help it to come out somehow and say, Steve Marshall secretly pushing the Intifada, you know, or whatever. And it's laughable, man.
Well, but another reason I think Club has gotten in and did it on the same day as the White House, or rather the president, is, you know, they had some previous cycles where they got in too early or found their way on going against the Trump-backed candidate, and therefore, you know, finding themselves at opposition with the president. They certainly don't want to do that. They want to closely hem to what he's got to say and hit the candidates he's endorsed. So I think there's a reason for that. And nobody knows. Nobody knows how much money they have to spend. It's a big cycle, right? I mean, if you're just looking at it politically and the best thing you can do for Republicans this cycle, Alabama is safe. Alabama is safe and sound. It is going to elect a Republican to the United States Senate. But there are plenty of swing states out there where it is in doubt. There's plenty. I mean, more than that, it's the House. You know, spending money in the House race. So it's not a guarantee that they're going to spend a ton of money. In fact, that would really be dumb in terms of taking money away from races that are in doubt. But notching a win for Trump would be important. And so we'll see. But again, going back just to the basics of the story, kudos to Barry Moore. I mean, he had been saying, like, yeah, I totally expect to get the Trump endorsement. Totally expect it. And I didn't really believe it, just seeing how this race is coming about. I know that Marshall also has contacts in the White House and everything. And so no question those contacts were pushing back against this. So the fact that Barry Moore got it says a whole lot about his connection with the president and how to push that through.
Yeah, and you know, being first has its benefit.
Absolutely, yeah. That loyalty has paid off. So now we go to how does it impact the race? I mean, if I'm Barry Moore, I already have at least the beginnings of some Trump ads in the hopper. I would be up as soon as humanly possible on radio and television with, I'm the Trump-endorsed candidate. Because not everybody's going to see this, especially over a holiday weekend like it was. And so you got to get out there. You got to make sure people know that. And the other thing is, in a midterm like this, and that's the thing, those elections we talked about where Trump missed, they were midterms. And he wasn't on the ballot. And his voters don't always show up when he's not on the ballot. That's something to think about. And so if I'm Barry Moore, I'm not going to make the same mistake that Luther Strange made, and not the same mistake that Mo Brooks made. You've got the endorsement. You've got the, you know, the golden goose, but you've got to use it. You got to use it wisely, and that's the job now. And the other candidates, they've got to figure out a way to go on as well. So, you know, Steve Marshall has been leading this race for a while. How do you?
Yeah, what do you say?
You've
worked in this world before. What do you do? What's your spin if you're in Steve Marshall's campaign? What do you say? Like, we appreciate Trump having this opinion, but we differ. I mean, what do you pretend it didn't exist, or what do you do?
Yeah, you try to let it move on as soon as possible, and by emphasizing that you know, congratulations, or I see the Trump, the president has made his pick. Doesn't dissuade me at all from having his back. When I win the race, you know, we're still the front runner. We're still, you know, the biggest, if I'm Steve Marshall, the biggest threat is to money. You want that money flowing, especially from Washington, D.C. And a lot of the where people are watching races. Something like this can really cut off your money, or at least, you know, quite a bit of it. So I wouldn't want that. My first phone call would be to donors, telling them about polling and things like that, how much they are ahead, and reminding them of the history of this primary. You know, and if I don't know how clever you want to be about it, because you certainly don't want to, you know, tick off the president. But one clever line would be like, well, we've seen in Alabama politics how President Trump's first pick hasn't always been his final pick. So we look forward to seeing him in May when the actual election is, or something like that. That would be kind of clever. But I don't know if you want to, you know, be too clever about that.
It's an interesting couple months ahead of us. Of course, a great place to read about that, Alabama Daily News, and to look at it on the TV is to watch Capital Journal. Your schedule is picked up here during session.
On the TV, yeah. We've gone to nightly broadcasting. Not tonight. Today's MLK Day, so we're taking a break. But, yes, so every night the legislature's in session, we're on the air. You can catch that at 10:30. That's right after your local news. Flip on over to APT and catch up on what happened that day in a legislative session, whether it was on the floor, in committee, what's happening politically in Alabama. So, yeah, Capital Journal, we've got a nightly programming. It's the long stretch, man.
It is indeed.
And yes, daily news, of course, every day. You need to get that in your inbox. Good way to catch up in the morning and in the evening.
Okay, and it's, y'all, I mean, it's so easy, I could do it. You just sign up over at alabamadailynews.com, right?
That's right. Appreciate it, Sean.
Hey, I appreciate you. There he goes, Todd Stacey. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1227 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Thank you, Todd Stacey. Yeah, busy during the session with Capital Journal. Let's see, from the text line here at 251-343-0106, Jason said, John, I really thought that Steve Marshall making several trips and standing with Trump in New York during the bogus trial might get him the endorsement. I'm wrong again, LOL. That's the question, right? Everybody was like, who could get in line? Michael says the ad will be Trump endorse. Can I do it? I wish I had some like minor chord music in the background. You know, these attack ads, they always have like that minor chord, like the spooky music in the background. So the ad will be, and they'll probably air on this station, the ad will be Trump endorse Barry Moore over former Democrat politician Steve Marshall. And that is accurate. That is true. He was a Democrat before, like so many Republicans in Alabama. There were Democrats before. But, Michael, I mean, think about the fealty that Marshall gave to Trump. in an attempt to get that endorsement as well. That's why I would never survive in that world. My ability to lick boots doesn't exist. So, oh well. All right. Let's see. So May 19th. Yeah, people are asking the date, May 19th. So we'll have, it's going to be a fun spring. And those ads will be coming, you know, fast and furious. And that's a nice thing, too, because, you know, the whole thing is the candidates, an air quote here, which is lost on radio, but the candidates not associated with these political action committees, right? So they're not responsible for the ad or whatever. So you can have the attack ads come from the political action committee, and then you can say, you know, yours are all going to be positive. They can do the negative. We've heard this before. Nothing new. All right, coming right back. Your phone calls and text at 343-0106. Also, I think this is kind of interesting. Representative Jamie Keel got a bill to stop states from selling voters' phone numbers. And also, today on this MLK Day, I'm going to play a speech that doesn't get the attention, maybe the other ones, from a then 36-year-old MLK. That's all coming up on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. Get you through on a call or a text. By the way, too, just a note here. Looks like we have autonomous driving vehicles in our area. Waymo and those. I noticed one this morning. On Airport Boulevard, eastbound, the woman had, it had to be an autonomous driving vehicle, because the woman had a vape in one hand and her phone in the other. And she's careening down that section of Airport between University and like McGregor Azalea. Phones in one hand, vapes in the other, vehicles driving. I think it's like a Kia Soul or something, but must have been autonomous. There's no way somebody would. I looked at it and I said, it's time to get in the next lane over. Like, let me at least leave a lane between myself and this person. It was, vape in one hand. Phone in the other. All right. That Jamie Keel bill, and hopefully we'll get him on the show to talk more about this, because it's partially about voter rolls, but partially like how that can be used for robocalling. I don't know about y'all, but the robocalling is ridiculous on my phone. I'll wait a second here, probably while we're talking, and it'll start robocalling. And I'm on the do not call list. I've done all those things. I'm at the level probably, which, by the way, Android users out there, do you have a favorite app? I mean, I'm to the point where I will pay for an app to diminish this ridiculousness I get from it. But the story here, Alabama Daily News says, Representative Jamie Keel has filed a bill that would prohibit the state of Alabama from selling phone numbers. Did you know this was a thing already? Will prohibit us from state from selling phone numbers and other personal information from voter rolls for commercial purposes. Current law allows the state to sell all personal information included in your voter registration list, except for your social. Quote from Keel, he said, most voters do not know that their telephone number is being sold by the state of Alabama. And when they find that out, most are very upset about it. End quote. Now, I know a lot of get a lot of political robocalls, but I get a lot of use technical term, bupkis. Of those, so I don't know if that's how they got them. It's HB 71. House Bill 71 would make sure the state is not, quote, complicit, end quote, in robocalling and will protect Alabamians' privacy. The bill has 33 co-sponsors. Bill's expected to get its first vote on Wednesday in the House Constitution Campaigns and Election Committee. The bill would specify that the Secretary of State would also be forbidden from releasing emails, months, and days of birth and voter ID and driver's license number. Authorized agencies look at the local, federal, and state level would still be able to access confidential information. So government agencies be able to get it, but it wouldn't be for sale. Secretary of State Wes Allen said, I support the bill, which will protect voters' personal information. It will help cut down on spam, telemarketing phone calls that are annoying to residents of our state. End quote. Another component of this bill, a $1,000 ceiling on how much the Secretary of State could charge for voter registration lists. Now, the argument was made that the money they use in selling the list pays for organizing the database, right? That it's one of these, like, we have a lot of this in Alabama. Like, we have specific taxes. It's like the general fund. I always talk about how it's like 93% earmarked. It's because certain taxes and fees in the state, like, are matched with certain services. So this is one of them. Right now, it currently costs about a tenth of a cent per voter to obtain voter rolls, meaning a voting roll for the entire state of Alabama is about $38,000. Representative Keel said that figure is higher than the cost to obtain a voting roll for every other state in the country combined. So, well, you know, welcome to Alabama, where we do things differently. He said lowering the cost will be a step in making the voter roll readily available to people across the state. Goes on to say it's very important that people know who's voting and they know if their neighbor's voting, who shouldn't be voting. They could turn that person in, whether they're a felon, they're an illegal immigrant, whatever the case is. If they shouldn't be voting and they're on the voter roll, we need to know that so we can take them off. Okay, but this is a double-edged sword here. If you reduce, what it costs to get the voter roll, okay, from the, once again, let me point out, he says the voter roll for the entire state of Alabama is $38,000. That figure is higher than the cost to obtain the voting roll for all, for every other state in the country combined. I mean, it's serious. At the same time, if you do release it, you got to make sure not to leave all this other information out there that I think gets us robocalls. So your feelings on that, would you like back something like that? I would like to see my state not share my phone number with a dang person. You know, if they want to send a letter to the address of record, that's fine. But, I mean, the idea that our phone numbers are getting the state, and they'll say, well, the state needs money for X, Y, and Z, but the state selling information about the voter rolls, and maybe that's why I get so many robocalls. Maybe if I didn't vote, I wouldn't get that. All right. Jerry, Fort Morgan, said, speaking of attack ads, the sorry sons of a girl dogs at the state docks are using taxpayer money to fight against keeping our bay as clean as possible, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is going to be, I'm interested, Jerry, like in the bill Senator Elliott brought up, and I asked him about it when he was on the show, I guess a week ago today. The bill, I mean, because the Corps is fed, right? So we have the feds here. In the Corps of Engineers. That's why I thought what Senator Britt was doing in Washington was the right move. But this bill, and I don't have it in front of me, the number of it, but it's Rhett Marquez in the House and Chris Elliott in the Senate to define beneficial use and move the spoil to beneficial use, I think up to 70%, which still bothers me to have 30% that may be thin layer placement. But how can you make the feds do this? Now, he explained in the interview, it would be with this regional management plan, kind of like MPOs are for roads. But that has to have sign off from different state agencies. So to me, it's not just down here. You have to convince Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, other state agencies to be able to block the feds. Well, are they going to block the feds when we need money for other projects to come through the feds to the state? I worry on that. I really think the best avenue, and I mean, if you want to do, like the idea behind the bill they're pushing, I agree with. But for efficacy, it seems like this is something that needs to be done in Washington and with our federal delegation in Washington. So it's, I really don't know where we go with that, Jerry. I hope we end up at, because I mean, we're now in the maintenance phase, right? They did a lot of the I don't think there'll be as much spoil acutely, right? They had to do a lot of dredging for deepening and widening of the channel. Now we go into maintenance mode because, well, nature does not want there to be a ship channel, so you got to keep it open, all right? But that's going to be maintenance versus the, so how much, I wish somebody could give me projected volume on maintenance versus what it was for creation. Be dark. Ain't nobody's business what the neighbor's doing. Hank Sr. said it best, mind your own business and you won't be minding mine. Well, I think what he's saying is if you know, if you go through, if you're nosy and you can afford, right now you can't afford the voter rolls, right, because they're so expensive, but if you could, would you sit down with a cold beverage and sit down and leaf through them and go, I know that guy and he shouldn't be voting, or, I mean, there'll be people, I guess, that would do that. I don't know. That's your hobby. you know, getting on them and ratting people out. I don't know. So maybe people would argue, that it is worth people paying attention to or their neighbor's business if their neighbor shouldn't be voting. So, oh, here's more snow pictures. Good. I got some from National Weather Service out at the airport, and I live very close to the airport, and looked like a flurry. The problem is we should have rescheduled that snow. It was at 4 a.m, so I was not awake for the snow. I thought about, like, setting an alarm to get up because I think my weather app said it was, like, 3 a.m., and I decided not to. So, but those of y'all that got the pictures, cool. Cool, cool. That was a fun snow. That was a fun snow. Yeah, and somebody mentioned Lou Lartigue. Yeah, coming up at a little after 1 o'clock, so my friend Tom Claxton and I will talk about our friend Lou Lartigue, who passed over the weekend. Just a heck of a guy. Seriously, just a top-shelf individual. We'll talk about him coming up at a little after 1 o'clock. And then you heard the news mentioned the latest here on Greenland, right? The United States and Greenland. What we're going to do about Greenland. I did, because the story, you know, you hear news stories, it'll pick different parts of a document here. They're talking about this letter that was fired off from President Trump. So I went and got the actual letter. And so I'm looking at the actual letter. And, well, I'll read it to you. I don't know how I feel. I don't know how I feel about this. I do know how I feel about this, and I wish it was not in print, President Trump. It says, so this is coming on the White House letterhead, right? It says, Dear Jonas, considering your country has not decided, considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars plus, and plus is in capital, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, although it will always be predominant, but can now think about what is good and proper for the United States of America. Denmark could not protect that land from Russia or China, and why do they have a right of ownership anyway? There are no written documents. It's only that a boat landed there hundreds of years ago, but we had boats landing there also. Trump goes on to write here in this letter, I have done more for NATO than any other person since its founding. And now NATO should do something for the United States. The world is not secure until we have complete and total control of Greenland. Thank you, President Donald J. Trump. So I know everybody's he's playing three-dimensional chess. I don't know on this. I look at this. I just don't know. You write that down. Hey, you didn't give me the Peace Prize, okay? You can give me the Peace Prize. And by the way, too, I mean, he's specific to Norway here, even though Denmark in control of Greenland, right? But so the letter goes out because he's like, hey, you didn't give me, Jonas, you didn't, Jonas Stor, Norway's leader, said, you didn't give me, you can give me the Peace Prize. So therefore, kind of, we're going to take Denmark. And then he's sending this to President Norway, but it's specific to Denmark's claim on Greenland, because as we go back to this here, the president says, Denmark cannot protect the land from Russia or China, and why do they have a right of ownership anyway? There are no written documents. It's only that a boat landed there hundreds of years ago, but we had boats landing there also. I mean, if we're going to go into who had a boat land where and decide who gets a place, we may have trouble with this country on our stake and claim here. But, you know, so 300 years ago, okay, so before the founding of our republic, they landed a boat there. But we have boats landing there, too, so we... Can he hit the delete button on this? Hey, Trump, can you just go back and delete that? All right, 1248, coming right back. 343-0106. Moon Pot Minute, next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1253 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Enjoy the Boom Pie Minute. Enjoying those the whole way through Ash Wednesday. If you missed some, because it got started on Friday, the Moon Pie Minute, they all go to our website. So you can catch up, binge, share them. That's a nice thing, too. People talk about they take them and share the link with family members that are, you know, Mobilians or Baldwin County folks that are living elsewhere. If you go to fmtalk1065.com, fmtalk1065.com, along the top there, you'll see Moon Pie Minute, like, written out. Just click that. Takes you the page with the history of Moon Pie Minute and lets you access the daily Moon Pie Minutes as they post. So right now we're 4 days into it, so you got four of them there. As the season goes on, you go back and catch up with them and share them out there. So just go to fmtalk1065.com. Right, to the text line here. And first up, Michael said, I told the morning guys, this, and I really believe it. The Greenland situation is all about the control over the future Arctic shipping lane and the future mega Arctic ports that will absolutely change oceanic transportation. Just look up the map with the 100 billion, is that 100 BN, billion megaports? Is that tonnage Russia is building? And if you don't agree with that, is building, see if you don't agree with that idea. Okay, so this has been coming. This is interesting. I started thinking about that as this all kind of unfolded, Michael. And a long time ago, 25 years ago, so my late father and I were on a fishing trip up in Newfoundland. And at this lodge, it's coolest. I mean, I think you like fishing, Michael. I'd tell you about this place. It's unreal getting there and the fishing. But one of the people there is this a muckety muck. Like all the people are like, hey, you need this guy. And so he was the shipping magnate up in the Arctic, and he had built his ships as icebreakers, you know, with the reinforcing on the front and all the things you would do. And he made his money by having ships that could deliver through the ice pack, right? So that was, you know, he had this different fleet. So stuff that was going to come and go from the frigid north during, you know, what, October through May or whatever it is, his ships could do it. So he made a lot of money doing it. This guy was, and so I listened to him and people were talking to him. I was probably young enough that I, you know, just kind of sat at the seats behind the seats and listened to this guy. But he was worried back then in the conversation that they weren't seeing the ice pack they had seen. Some years they did, some years they didn't, but they weren't seeing the ice pack they had before. And he was thinking back then, Michael, about his business future. I was soaking all this in because he wasn't going to have a hold on it, a chokehold on the market. So it was kind of interesting. That was way back then. He was like, yeah, you know, so many words. Yeah, I made a killing doing this with my ships, but they're going to have to compete with other ships in the future. So $100 billion that Russia's already invested up there, which, yeah, Russia, the coffers probably slowing down a little bit in Russia right now. Michael goes on to say he's not wanting to have another Panama Canal situation with Russia holding control there while China controls in Panama. Joe said, strategically, Trump is correct, ham-fisted, but correct. Could have been talks in private that causes public displays as well. 100% agree with you, Joe. But I am, and I've said since the beginning of this, you would go back and check the tape. I'm all for buying Greenland. We've had some, if we can get, I mean, got a pretty good deal on this thing called Louisiana Purchase or this place called Alaska. If we work a deal and get it, I'm all for it. It's the saber rattling. I think it's tacky. And then writing that letter, come on, Trump. I'm sorry. I know there's those y'all that cannot ever disagree with anything Trump does. Like, I love the outcome, but don't write, not even to Denmark, write it to Norway. And, you know, because you didn't give me the Nobel Peace Prize. You can, which could argue that he has an argument there. But why is that in this letter? You didn't give me the Nobel Peace Prize. So, you know, we've always been about peace, but I don't know now. Come on. I know there's somebody that said, got to agree with everything he says. I agree with the end goal, but I don't think this helps the end goal either. People say, well, you know, this is the thing, the negotiation style of Trump. I've seen it, and it's pretty good. You ask for the moon, you know, and you take Poughkeepsie. He actually knows how to negotiate. We've had so many presidents that will come in, and I think Obama was the worst on negotiation. Trump is the best in recent times. But don't write a letter that's going to be publicly posted that It embarrasses me as an American when you do that. Fire Dog, very sentient post here from, or text here from Fire Dog. I love me some Danish butter cookies, so I'm all in favor of annexing Denmark. We had no war for oil. Now they can chant no war for cookies or just burn Minneapolis to the ground. Either one. let's see. Unnamed texter. Hey, Sean, maybe Herschel Walker will appear in a commercial for Boer. I don't think he'd want to. I mean, this Trump endorsement is a big deal for Barry Moore here. My question just is the, when Club for Growth, not Barry Moore, when Club for Growth, though, goes attacking the current front runner, Steve Marshall, or what's their, like, and I think Michael may have hit the nail on the head. They'll say, well, former Democrat. But if you look at his body of work as of late, if they're going to try to call Steve Marshall, and I'm not telling you, I'm not behind Steve Marshall on this, or he's not putting an endorsement, but if they come out and tell you Steve Marshall's his liberal guy, then that's not true either. I would love to hear an ad that says, hey, both guys are pretty conservative guys. We think this guy's better at the job because X, Y, Z. All right, coming right back, and Tom Claxton is going to join me here talking about the now late Lou Lartigue.